Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hola, waka, chakma. Grady Deaton here, Coffee at KYUK, as usual, excited. And as usual, I'm also shouting out to the Yukon and the coast. And on the phone to host the show, Greg Kim. Good morning, Greg.
Morning, Grady. Thank you. Good morning. Thanks for being with us on Coffee at KYUK this morning. I'm your host, Greg Kim. The Navajo Nation in the southwestern region of the United States is currently experiencing the second wave of the coronavirus pandemic. The Navajo Nation is similar to the YK Delta in a lot of ways. Residents in both areas face overcrowding in homes, many don't have access to running water, and there's limited healthcare infrastructure in both places since they're geographically remote. And both regions are facing devastating rates of COVID-19 infection. This morning, we're speaking with the Navajo Area Indian Health Service's Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Loretta Christensen. Good morning, Dr. Christensen.
Good morning.
The COVID epidemiology lead there, Shawnell Damon. Good morning, Shawnell.
Good morning, everyone.
And the public affairs liaison, Jenny Nota. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning.
Thank you all for being here this morning. I wanted to start off, because there are so many similarities between our two regions, I'm hoping we can learn some lessons from you about how to combat the virus. It's being reported that the Navajo Nation is in a second wave of the pandemic and that the region has gone into a three-week lockdown, and we'll come back to that. But back in August, Navajo Nation actually had declining infection rates. What do you think contributed to the declining infection rates at that time?
Well, good morning again. This is Dr. Christensen. I believe through all of COVID, we've employed some very effective methods. Our public health orders have been very critical to our success in suppressing the first outbreak, which was mostly in April and May and pretty much wrapped up by June. So throughout the summer, we continued to have our curfews. We continued to have mandatory mask wearing everywhere. We regulated the businesses to have safe practices and practice very good hygiene at all of the places of business people would visit. And we did a lot of education and public messaging to the public to still don't gather, wear your mask, wash your hands, and really watch how far apart you are from people. So this was very, very effective to us until the beginning of this second wave.
Mm-hmm. And could you talk about when the Navajo Nation has put into place measures like mandatory masks or lockdowns or curfews? Have those been enforced, or is that generally by the will of the people to follow?
Well, as you know, public health orders are hard to enforce when you don't have a huge police force, which we do not. However, there have been roadblocks. There have been several fines for being out after curfew. So I think we did a good job of enforcing what we had put out as public health orders. I believe the people have done an excellent job of wearing masks, and this has been mandatory since way at the beginning of COVID. We were very aggressive and progressive with our president really supporting the public health orders, and he was out in the community speaking the same to all of the people. So I think that was very, very critical for us to have that messaging early and to institute all of those public health orders very early in COVID.
Mm-hmm. And when you as health officials are advising people to limit and even stop in-person gatherings, what kind of messaging are you finding most effective?
Well, what we've done in Navajo is we have worked very, very closely with the Navajo tribe, and we have a public messaging section in our public health response, which Shawnell can speak about more. And we use very unified messaging in everything that we do. We translate everything into the Navajo language so all of our people can understand the message that is coming out. And I'll let her talk a little bit more about that process.
Yes, good morning, everyone. So at the beginning, we had public health messaging going out, and we used our Dinette language, and we interpreted, you know, the COVID-19 into our own language. And so that was one of the big turning points for us to, like, make sure we're communicating with our community. So we named it Dose Dixalgi 19. And then also we established the public health messaging team, which works together with the tribal organizations and the federal organizations. And every week we meet to come up with new messaging that we see that we need in our community. So, for example, we have for Halloween, we wanted to make sure that if people were gathering, that they still can wear their masks if they're gathering. And then, you know, how to not, you know, we encourage not to go trick-or-treating, and that we wanted people to do other in-household games within their own household and not be mingling with other households. So those are, like, some every week there's usually an upcoming topic that we need to touch on, and we try to make sure that the community is informed. And so every week there's usually a new message because we can assess what's going on in the community. Sometimes, like right now with the lockdown, you know, what does shelter in place mean? That means staying home unless you only need to go somewhere to get groceries or something that you need our medical care. So those are the communications that we're putting out every week to make sure that our community is up to date. And then also we do it in Navajo, and then we also put it in the newspapers.
Thank you for that. In the YK Delta, even while people are willing to forego most gatherings, people are still attending funerals. It's a really difficult issue because, of course, people want to show respect to their family members, but it's also a dangerous vector for the virus. Has the Navajo Nation addressed the issue of funeral gatherings in a specific way?
This is Dr. Christensen. Yes, we have. I will not say there have not been funerals, but I would say there have been very few. We encourage from the very beginning, where we understand the need for respect and honoring our relatives, that these gatherings would also expose other people to COVID. So we have largely not had many funerals. But I will say in this second wave that a couple of the outbreaks and clusters that developed were due to funeral gatherings. As you probably know, we've had a significant amount of deaths from COVID, which is, you know, we grieve every day for our losses. But we know that we will honor them at a different time, and we still message to people to please, if you do have any kind of service, it should only be immediate family. They should be socially distanced and only gather outside. There shouldn't be any repasses at anyone's house. And so most people are doing drive-throughs for that, and only the immediate family are attending at the burial. So that's the way we have dealt with it through COVID.
Mm-hmm. I believe another issue is of overcrowded homes. That's an issue in both the YK Delta and Navajo Nation. And if someone gets COVID in an overcrowded home, they risk spreading the virus to many family members, even if they follow isolation measures carefully. Have you found that there are any ways to mitigate that risk with overcrowded homes?
This is Dr. Christensen again. Yes, in fact, and again, Chanel can speak more in depth on this, but we do look at these as family units. And one of the big things we learned from our first wave is to have an abundance of isolation shelter for our people. So during the first wave, we placed over 1,500 people in isolation areas outside of their homes, where we provided food and medical monitoring and care for them so that they could isolate, stay well, and get healthy. In between the two waves, we did look to expand this, and Navajo Nation did establish a very wide contract with an outside company to provide all of the services necessary. And we are still supplying quite a few isolation We use hotels. We have a community center that we converted in one of our communities. We work with the departments of health from New Mexico. We have hotels available in on the eastern corridor, and we use that as much as we can. When the weather was good, we were also using isolation tents so people could stay on their own property, and that was very, very well received by the public. We gave them food, water, hygiene kits, and everything they needed to safely stay in a tent on their property so they could look at livestock, so they could care for their families and everything. But I'll let her go ahead and explain more about that.
Yes, we do have. We did have to make a lot of big arrangements for our community to make sure that they had other places to stay besides home with our grandparents or with our families and our babies. So we did, like Dr. C said, have hotels and isolation sites. We also had camping kits that were given out so that the person could, you know, stay outside near the family, because a lot of times, too, they don't want to be away from their family, especially when they're sick or trying to heal. I think that's most of the things that we've done. I'm not sure if I missed anything, Dr. C.
Well, thank you for that. Those are some creative solutions. What do you think, this is a more difficult question, what do you think is the reason for this second wave of the pandemic in Navajo Nation, if there is one?
Well, we've talked about this quite a bit, and thank you for the question. We feel that the described COVID fatigue, our people have been very wonderful about supporting our public health efforts to suppress COVID, and they had stayed home and they had wear masks and they did hold their shopping down as much as possible. However, after several long months of all this illness and the losses that we had, a lot of people just needed to see their families. You know, our culture is very family oriented and clan oriented, and getting together and celebrating together and spending time with families is very, very important, as are our ceremonies. So we feel all that time that people didn't engage in these activities was a benefit to us as a nation, but at some point they felt it was okay, that they could reach out, that they could gather with families. And we feel that the clusters and outbreaks that we're dealing with in this second wave, we can trace them all back to specific family gatherings and celebrations and ceremonies. So I you know, it is human nature to seek the solace of one's family, and I feel that the people just got to the point where they felt the families were safe. And our families, you know, mean the world to us, but we still have to practice all of the preventative measures that we've done all since COVID started, and that's what we're messaging now. Please take care of your families. Please help us care for your families by wearing your masks. Don't go from family to family. Don't have your ceremonies right now, and keep your celebrations only with your immediate family. So I feel that is a lot of the reason for this second wave.
Mm-hmm. And besides reinforcing those public health measures, the Navajo Nation also reinstated a 3-week lockdown order beginning today because of increasing numbers. I'm curious, in previous phases of the virus, how effective were lockdown orders at bringing COVID-19 numbers down, and how long did it take to see the effects after the orders were put in place?
Well, I think they were very effective, and at the very least symbolic, but definitely operationally effective. It takes about 3 to 4 weeks to see the result of what we call a reset or a lockdown. And that's what we're expecting now. We're hoping in the next 2 to 4 weeks that we start to see some positive changes due to this latest and very excellent public health order to get everybody back home, get them back in the mindset of isolating and sheltering in place and not going out unless they have to, so that we can move forward and suppress this latest wave of COVID. So I think that that has been crucial. I think that the Navajo Nation leadership, that's been a very critical element, is the involvement of the president and his messaging and his willingness to support what needs to be done to take care of the COVID spread.
Mm-hmm. And also, I'm curious, over the course of the pandemic, have you changed what you have done as health officials in terms of recommendations you make to tribal leaders or guidance you put out to the public? And in respect to the, as you mentioned, the fatigue over COVID-19, have you changed those messages that you put out?
Instead of like totally banning gatherings, we had to change messages to accommodate our families to gather safely. And what does that mean? So gathering safely means if you are actually going to like visit another family, you still wear a mask, you still stay 6 feet apart, and you might open a window or leave the door open to have circulated air. Now it's getting colder, so now we're trying to urge, like, if you are going to visit other families, you still wear a mask. And just and making sure that we're staying under 10 people if we're gathering, and also, of course, still socially and physically distancing from one another if you have to gather. So instead of banning gathering, we have to kind of like teach them how to gather safely. And we're still trying to learn that.
I see. Understanding that the behavior is still going to happen. So how do we do it safely? Dr. Christensen, did you have something to add?
No, I'm going along with what Chanel said. That's very, very important how we message, because people are tired. So we're really looking at positive measuring. Help us keep you healthy. Help us keep you well. We're depending on each other to take care of our people. And I think that is the right way to go. And I think that will take us through this latest wave, and we'll be able to suppress this and mitigate this outbreak.
Okay. And we have just 1 minute. Is there anything else you would like to say to our listeners, or any advice you'd like to give?
Well, my advice is be patient. Remember, your health and wellness is the most important thing. And the best thing you can do is follow all of the public health orders and take care of each other, so that when this is over, that we can gather again, we can celebrate again, we can be with our families and with our communities. So just be strong. You know, the Navajo Nation is strong and resilient, and that's what I tell everybody. We are strong. We will get through this. So help us help you.
Great. And the YK Delta is strong as well. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Christensen, Chanel Damon, and Jenny Nota. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much
for having us.
You've been listening to the Navajo Area Indian Health Services Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Loretta Christensen, the COVID epidemiology lead there, Chanel Damon, talk about what lessons the YK Delta could learn from the Navajo Nation's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. Thanks for listening to Coffee at KYUK. I'm your host, Greg Kim. Back to you, Grady.
Thanks for that. Leaving just one thing left to say to listeners, and that's don't forget to be awesome to each other.
Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.